Hey, I love that song they sing. What a beautiful song. It kind of fits the message this morning. I'm glad I'm here. Hope you're excited to be here as I am. I had a great week. I don't know about you, but you know, when I start out in church Sunday morning and I just love the church, I love you guys, and then I get to go to Disneyland after that. I mean, what can you have a better day than that? You know, you start out in church and you get to go to Disneyland and had a great week. But as I wrote this message, I was thinking about something this morning is I'm a positive person. I look at things in a very positive way, you know. A cup's not half empty, a cup's always half full. That's just who I am. I see things that way. And as I look over the week, as I come this morning, I was thinking, well, you know, not everybody has a good week. And if I'm really honest with myself, I had some bad things this week. You know, I could tell you some, you know, it'd be fun. I'd walk out here and say, let me tell you how horrible my week was. You guys go, yeah, we want to hear that, right? You know, and so I'm not positive because all my life is positive. I could tell all sorts of negative things that go on. And just, you know, and those things, there's bad things that happen. There's tough things that happen in our lives. And how do we deal with them and what do we do? And so this morning I was looking, well, what about a bad prayer? Has anybody here ever prayed what you might say, well, that was a bad prayer? It didn't make sense. It didn't work. You know, I prayed, but it was just a bad prayer. You know, I know I prayed something like that. You know, I've got up after praying or I've talked to God and it's like I get done talking. It's like, well, that just didn't make sense. You know, that didn't work. What I mean asking for this or what I mean asking for that? And how do we deal with a bad prayer? And so what we've been doing, looking at red letter prayers, and those red letter prayers are whose prayers? Somebody help me out. They're Jesus's prayers. The red letters in your Bible in the New Testament are Jesus's words. And so what we've been looking at is, what did Jesus have to say about prayer? And this morning, I want to look at Jesus teaching on a bad prayer. You know Jesus taught a bad prayer? Jesus gave us an example of a bad prayer. He also gave us an example of a good one. I want to look at this little story here. It's called the parable that Jesus tells. Now, just so you know what a parable is, and as I go through this, I'll make sure you get a picture here. A parable is not an allegory where you line all these images up and you go, this is how it works. A parable makes a single point. So this morning, our point is, what does a prayer that engages God look like? And Jesus gives an example of a bad one and a good one. And so we're going to look at this prayer that Jesus prayed and Jesus taught as a parable. It's a story. And we're going to look how Jesus taught this. So get your little outline out. It's in your worship folder. Let me encourage you to get it out. You can follow along. I do have a few blanks to fill out. I'm going to warn you now, there's some things I want you to circle, but don't jump ahead. You might circle the wrong thing, all right? So don't run ahead, just because I know some of you can fill this out even before I get started, right? Some of you, you know, I know where Gary's going, you know, you can fill out those blanks and have it all done. But I'm going to warn you now, you might circle the wrong thing if you run ahead, okay? So slow down and stay with me on this. But let's look here at this prayer that Jesus is teaching, a bad prayer and a good prayer. How do we pray? How do we talk to God and engage God and get God's attention? Look at what it says here. Jesus told this story. Okay, this is a parable. It's a story. Basically, I can tell you, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, is what we're looking at. He told this story to some people. I'm going to stop right there. He tells the story to some. Now, my question when I sat down to do this was, am I one of those some? Am I included in this some? When Jesus spoke this prayer, he was talking to some specific people. He had some people in mind when he told this story. So he goes, I'm talking to some people who thought they were very good and looked down on everyone else. So here's what I want you to know this morning. Do I fall into that category? I got a 50-50 chance of falling into this category. Now, is he talking to me? Is he speaking to me? Who are these some people? First of all, these some people thought that they were very good. So Jesus is speaking to some people who thought they were good. They were probably good people. They lived the right kind of life. They thought they had it with God. God, you and I are on the same page. God, you and I got this thing together. God, you and I know where we're going. God, we have all this worked out. We're very good. God, I know you're going to listen to me because I'm good. And you're on my side, and I'm on your page, and we're a team here, God, and we're connected. I'm very good. Now, as I looked at that, I'm going, well, I don't fit that category, all right? I know I'm not very good. Some of you are going, yeah, we know you're not too, all right? You guys would all sit there and agree with me on that one. That, yeah, you know, I don't fall into that category where, you know, I got this thing all figured out. You know, I got life all figured out. God and I are on the same page all the time. You know, God and I, you know, we're tight, man. God and I are tight, and we got it all worked out. It doesn't always happen that way. So I don't fall into that category. So I'm going, so far, I'm not some of those people. But then he goes on, and he says, those who look down on everyone else. At first glance, I go, I'm not that way either. I don't look down on other people, you know. I've always felt this. Nobody is better than me, and I'm no better than anybody else. I've always felt that way. So I'm kind of going, well, maybe this isn't about me, but as I was writing this message, I had just got back from Disneyland. And while I'm at Disneyland, I am a people watcher. Anybody like watching people? You know, we go sit down at the restaurants. I sit on the edge. I want to sit out there on the sides where the railings are. Some of you know where I go. You know, I like sitting out by the rain so I can watch the people. And I watch people. While I'm sitting there this last week, I'm watching people walk by, and I'm watching what they're wearing. And it's kind of like, I wouldn't be caught dead dressed like that. Anybody? You know, you ever watch somebody, you know, you're sitting there maybe at the mall or you're somewhere and you're watching people walk by and you're just going, what were they thinking, you know? You know, I made this comment while I'm there. I wonder if they have a mirror in their house. You know, I made that comment. And so as I'm writing the sermon, I'm going, I don't look down on everyone. Wait a minute. What did I just do at Disneyland? Well, maybe I am one of these some people. Maybe God does have something to say to me in this story. He might not have anything to say to you, so you're going to have to bear with me because it's about me, all right? You know, because maybe, you know, yeah, I don't think I'm this very good, you know, I'm the pastor. Whew, look at me. You know, I've got life all together. You know, I've got it all worked out. God and I, man, we're good. You know? No, I don't feel that. But sometimes, you know, you look at what somebody's wearing or you look at what somebody's doing and you're going, man, I'm glad I'm not like, I'm glad I've never done. So maybe I do fall into this category of some. So I'm going to go ahead and go with this. You might just have to tag along with me. Maybe you're not in with a some, but I am. So bear with me as I look at this, and let's see what God has to say. Two men, all right, we're going to talk about two men, went to the temple to pray. Two guys go up to church to pray. All right, they're going to prayer meeting. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. I like the way he worded this. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. I like the way he worded it. So you got these two individuals. One, a respected religious individual, and the other, a despised tax collector. So we got here's two individuals. He's telling this story. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this. I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. This is who I am, God, standing there praying. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, Oh God, be merciful to me, for I'm a sinner. I tell you this, now Jesus is speaking. I tell you this, sinner, not the Pharisee returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now we read this parable, we read this story, and it's like, you know, some of the Bible's hard to understand, right? If you read some passage and you're going, I just don't get it. You know, you wrestle with some passages and you're going, what's he saying? You know? But this one we all read, and we're all sitting here this morning and we go, I know that one. That one is not hard to understand. This one is not complicated. You don't want to be like the Pharisee. You want to be like the despised tax collector, right? Is everybody on board with that one? Who do you guys want to be like right here, right now? Who do you want to be like? Raise your hand. Who wants to be like the Pharisee? Anybody? Who wants to be like the tax collector? You got to be one or the other, all right? You can't, there's no in between, all right? You got to be one or the other. You're either with the despised tax collector or you're with the Pharisee. And most of us understand this. Yeah. We read this one. This is real simple. You're either with the good guy or the bad guy. The tax collector, he's a cool dude, man. He's humble. He's bowing. He's contrite. God, I just need your mercy. And then you got this Pharisee who's a jerk. He's standing prideful. He's standing there bright. He's standing there telling God who he is. And it's like, well, this was an easy one. This is a slam dunk. We all want to be like the despised tax collector. But I want you to stop a minute and think about this. I think that's what's so, we run through this so fast. We've read it so often, at least I have, that it's like, this is easy. Be like the tax collector. Don't be like the Pharisee. Is that really all there is to this parable? Is that really all Jesus is making? I want you to step back with me for a minute, and I want you to think about this. Look at this Pharisee for a minute, all right? The Pharisee, the one we don't want to be like. But I want you to think about who and what this guy is like. This guy is a religious individual. He is serious about his commitment to God, all right? You need to know that. He is serious about his commitment to God. He is sold out for God. He has committed his life, his heart. He has committed everything he is, his finances. Look at the description. You look at that description there. You know, he's talking about it. I'm not a sinner. He's saying, I'm not a sinner. And then he describes it. I don't cheat. I don't steal. I don't commit adultery. I'm not a sinner. You know, he's trying to be a good guy. He's not lying and cheating. He's not manipulating. He's not taking advantage of people. He's not abusing people. He's a good man. He's trying to do what's right. He's a great guy. He's a guy you'd love to have as a friend. Just a wonderful, joyful guy to hang with. He's not going to lie to you. He's not going to cheat you. He's not going to abuse you. He's not going to deceive you. He's just a good guy. He's a great family man. He said, doesn't commit adultery. He's committed to his family. He loves his kids. He loves his wife. He's sold out to them, and he's committed to... This is a religious individual. This is a guy who's seeking God. He loves God. He cares what God says. He fasts twice a week. I don't know about you, but I don't fast twice a week. I've done more than one day fast, maybe twice. But he fasts twice a week. I mean, he's committed to what God says. He's committed to what God wants. I put what they wanted him to do, and he did it. You know, he tithed. He was a giver in the church. He was generous. I want to show you a picture. Here is a good man that we'd all like to be around. There's nothing wrong with this guy. He's got good behavior. He looks good. You know, a guy you'd like to be in Bible study with, a guy you'd like to sit next to in church. He's a great guy. He's part of the circle. He's part of the inner group. He's sold out for God. He's committed to God. This is a Pharisee. And we're saying we don't want to be like him. We want to be like the tax collector. All right, I want you to think about the tax collector. Now, the tax collector was a traitor. All right, the tax collector was a liar, cheater, deceiver, stealer. That's how he made his living. He was not a good guy. He was, as it said, a despised guy of his town. The Jews thought he was sold out. He sold his people out. He lived on cheating people. He lived on making a living off of other people's income. He was probably, if he's like most of them in those days, he was probably a party guy, all right? He was probably not committed to his family. He was probably a womanizer. He probably lived this life as a tax collector that they looked on. And so when he says he was a sinner, he's not lying, all right? When he confessed that he's a sinner, he's telling the truth. And so now I ask you, who do you want to be like? All right? Now who do you want to be like? Do you want to be like the Pharisee, a guy committed to God, a guy who's sold out to God, a guy who's trying to do what God says, a guy who's trying to live up to God's principles and God's teaching? Or do you want to be like the Pharisee? Do you want to be like the despised tax collector who's lying, cheating, manipulating, abusing people? Now who do you want to be like? You know, I look at this parable. There's a lot Jesus is saying here. You know, we read through this so fast, it's like, well, shoot, that's an easy one. I want to be like the Pharisee. I want to be like the tax collector. But when you step back and you look at this, and it's kind of like, now wait a minute. Here you have a good man. A man who's trying to do what God wants, a man who's trying to serve God and trying to be a spiritual leader and trying to lead his family right, and he's trying to do what's right. And you have a guy over here who's made poor choices, who's abusing people and stealing and cheating. Now, who do you want to hang with? You got to circle one, all right? I'm going to make you guys circle one. Who do you want to be with right now? You want to be with a tax collector? Or you want to be with a Pharisee? You got a choice. Who do you want to hang with right now? Yeah. And I see Jesus saying this because most of us are going to want to hang with thee. If you're like me, guess who I want to run with? Yeah. I want to minister to the tax collector, but I want to hang with the... Yeah. I want to love the tax collector, but I'm going to join the Pharisee. Yeah. And yet when it comes to praying, there's a problem. You know, and so I put it this way. If you look at your outline, I put it this way. What's the issue? What's the problem? You have a guy who is seeking God wholeheartedly, sold out, doing what he's supposed to do and not doing what he's not supposed to do, giving, spiritually seeking God, and there's a problem. You got a guy who finally starts turning to God who is messed up, and he finds God. What's the issue here, and what's going on here? And so I want you to think about this. What's going on? And so I want to tell you, here's the issue. The issue's in the heart. The issue's in his heart. He's got a battle going on in his heart. See, he feels this. He feels like this. I want to make sure you get the picture. He feels like this. God, I'm doing what you want. I'm doing what you asked me to do. And now I'm seeking you, so God, you're going to answer me. Because I'm on your side, God. I'm on your team, God. It's you and I. We're in this together, God. You know who I am. I know who you are. I've accepted you, and now you've accepted me. And so now, God, when I pray to you, answer me. And then you got this tax collector who comes, and it's like, God, you and I are not on the same page. You and I are on different pages. I'm not where I need to be. I'm not where I should be. I'm not doing what I should do. And I look at the story here, and now all of a sudden it takes a different meaning to me. Because most of us wouldn't say that we expect God to answer our prayers when we're good. That we act like that. Have you ever prayed and tucked your petitions to God and you're wrestling with God and you had a bad week? And, you know, you kind of slip back a little bit. You know, some of those bad habits, some of those negative things in your life, they just kind of jumped up and bit you again. You know, you just made some poor choices during the week. Maybe that day, and now you're praying to God and your mind's going, why would God listen to me? Why would God answer me when I just did this and I didn't do this and I should have done this? And you ever prayed a prayer when you just feel it just, you know, why would God even listen? See, we don't think we're like this, but we really are. Because then there's times when, you know, God, I'm trying to do what you want. God, I'm trying to do everything you ask. God, I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to do this. Why aren't you answering my prayers? You ever said anything like this? I mean, I'm going to be honest, I have. You know, that's what the Pharisee was saying. You know, God, I'm sold out to you. God, I'm giving. I'm committed. I'm on your team. I've sacrificed. You know, God, I'm doing everything you say. Why aren't you answering me? See, sometimes we think God's going to answer us because we are on God's team. That we're on God's side. That, you know, I've done all sorts of good things today. I've done all sorts of right things today. I haven't sinned today. So God and I are together on this, and God's going to give me what I pray for. Now, we might not say that, but I'm going to tell you, have you ever felt that? You ever feel, because, you know, I've been this way and things are gone good for me and I've been good with God today and, okay, God, I'm going to seek your face and God's going to answer. But then those are those bad times when, you know, God, I really messed up and I don't know why God's going to answer me. You know, why would God care what I said? I've slipped, I fell, I'm back in that sin again. I've done it again and again and again. You know, I look at this tax collector. I wonder, when did the tax collector really turn his life over to God? I mean, was it that day? Did he go home and go back to work the next day? I mean, did he go back to being a tax collector the next day? You know, and if he did he still lie, cheat? I mean, well, then I'm like the Pharisee again. I don't know. You know, this is challenging to think about. Because, you know, when I'm doing right and I'm doing what I feel is right, it feels like God and I are on the same page and God's with me and he's going to hear my prayers and we're okay. See, I think Jesus is saying a lot here with this prayer, and I've run through this so many times too quick to, and then all of a sudden it's like, slow down and look at this. Wait a minute and see this picture here. Here's this good man that's missed it. Because he thinks he's good, that he's got God's ear. That because he's a good man and he's serving God and he goes to church every Sunday and he prays and he fasts and he tithes and he gives, that him and God are tight and they're together and that God's going to answer his prayers because he and God are in it together and they've got it all figured out. And you got this tax collector who's battling sin and struggling with life and struggling with decisions and battling the past that he has and battling the burdens that he's carrying, and he's battling all these things, and he comes to God and he has nothing to say, but he comes in sorrow and just says, God, be merciful. I see this challenge in our lives, and most of us feel like, you know, we're not like the Pharisee, but I have to tell you, sometimes I am. It's like, you know, God, this was a good week. Things really went well. And, you know, yeah, I had a great time. Started off in church on Sunday. Wonderful. People love the church, love being here on Sunday. Get to go to Disneyland that night. I'm in the two places I love the most, church and Disneyland. Where else do you want to go? You know, and I'm just having a great time. You know, great week. You know, yeah, there's some little bumps and stuff in the road, but God and I, you know, now, God, I'm going to preach. Let's go. You know, and then I get to start writing this sermon. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, maybe I'm not, maybe do I think too highly of myself? You know, have I kind of, well, I'm good and they're bad, or I'm good and, well, maybe not that good, but I'm at least better than they are, and God, you're going to hear me because you and I got this thing all figured out, and like I say, I've read this many times, but when I slowed down, it's like, wait a minute. You know, there's more going on here. Is God going to answer my prayers because I do certain things or I don't do certain things? Because I'm good with God and God's good with me, he's going to answer my prayers. You know, is that what God does? Is that how God works? Because here we got a story that Jesus tells, red letters, that says, now wait a minute, here is a good guy. And here's a bad guy. And who's God going to hear? And who's God listening to? Yeah. I think there's a lot going on here that it's so easy for us to run over and have to step back. You know, because when you've been a Christian for a while, you know, I've been a Christian for a while now. You know, I became a Christian at 17, and so now it's been about 41 years. You know, and you know, I've got this thing pretty well worked out. You know, I went to college. Matter of fact, I went to a Baptist college, man. I got a Christian education. Went and got a master's degree in religion, and not only that, got a doctorate, and you know, God and I have got this thing all figured out. Well, do we really? Do I really? You know, I mean, you know, is that, you know, I can come into God's presence with confidence and assurance. God, this is Gary again. You know who I am. You and I have been at this for 41 years now, God. You know, we've got this all figured out, you know. I haven't committed adultery yet, God. I don't plan to, just make sure you know. Not just yet, but never, all right? Yeah. God, I don't cheat. I don't lie most of the time. Yeah. God, I give and I sacrifice and I tithe. And, you know, God, and so here I am, God. Here's my prayers. Do we ever feel like that? We may not say that, but do we ever communicate that? Do we ever think God's going to listen to our prayers because we are good? That when you're good, God listens to you, and when you're bad, He turns a deaf ear. I think that's kind of scary. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not a freedom to sin, and I'll get there in a minute, but it's not a freedom to sin. It's not a freedom to do whatever you want. But it makes us think a minute about our prayers. And is it simply because, you know what, I'm a good guy. I'm on God's team. How do we engage God? How do we connect with God? You know, how do I get God's attention? Do I get God's attention by being good? Is God sitting in heaven? Man, look, Gary's good today. Gary, you've done a good. Give me a high five, man. Yeah, Gary, good job. What do you want today? I'm going to give it to you. You've been so good. Do you really think God does that? Yeah. Is God sitting up there? Man, you screwed up. You are messed up. When are you going to ever? You did it again. That's the 3,000th time you've done it. I ain't going to turn you. You're on your own. Now, we don't believe that, but do we act like that sometime in our prayers? Do we treat God like, God, when I'm good, you're going to answer. When I'm bad, I'm messed. How do we engage God? How do we get on the same page with God? How do I get there? If the issue's in my heart, how do I get right with God? How do I stand before God? Not in, I did all these good things. That I'm a good person. Not that I'm a bad person. That I messed up and God's not going to hear. How do you hear and how do you get God's attention? I'm going to tell you, it's real simple. It's one word. It's called mercy. It's called mercy. The tax collector came with sorrow. And what did he say? Have mercy. Oh, I forgot the scripture. Thanks. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. It's what's in our heart. How do you engage God? And it's mercy. You seek God in mercy. I'm nobody. And I want to make sure you understand, this word for mercy is not the normal word that you find for mercy. If you look it up in the dictionary, you're going to find the word mercy, and you're going to see the word pity. This is not what this word means. This word means atonement. Let me tell you what this guy's doing here. Let me give you a picture of what this guy's doing. This guy's coming to the God's presence and goes like this. God, I am messed up. I am a mess. My life is a mess. I am messed up. I am a sinner. And what I need, I cannot do for myself. And what I need, I cannot provide for myself. And what I need, only you can give me. It's mercy, and that word means atonement. God, you're the only one who can pay the price for my sins. That's what this guy's saying. This guy's coming to God and saying, God, life is out of control. I can't deal with this. I can't handle this anymore. I'm done. I'm fried. It's over for me, God. I need your mercy. I don't need your pity, God. I need your atonement. And Jesus hadn't even died yet. I think this is something that's amazing to me. Jesus hadn't died as a sacrificial atonement for our sins, and this man is crying for that atonement. This is saying something. You want to engage God. You engage God with His mercy, with Jesus Christ and His atonement. not on what you do, not on what you didn't do, not on what you have done or what you're going to do. It is God's mercy. It is what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's how we engage God. It's God's mercy that brings it. And I'm going to tell you, how do you get God's mercy? Are you good to get God's mercy? Most of us know this. Most of us sitting here this morning would know this, and you could agree with this, that God loves us unconditionally. Everybody agree with that? That you don't have to do anything to get God's love, that God loves you unconditionally. There is nothing you can do. Matter of fact, there's nothing you can do to get away from God's love, all right? You can do anything, and God's still going to love you. Now, he might be disappointed, but God's going to, I don't care what's happened in your life. I don't care where you've been in your life. I don't care what you've done with your life. I don't care. This guy was a liar, cheater, stealer, womanizer, manipulator. You go on. This despised tax gatherer was anything you can imagine in today's society. And he comes and finds acceptance with God because of mercy. God's atonement. Jesus died for him. And he hadn't even died yet. I love this. This is looking forward to what God was going to do through Jesus Christ. That if you want a relationship with God, it comes through Jesus. And this guy's acknowledging it with this word mercy. It's not the normal word. He's saying something. See, we know God loves us unconditionally. But I want to ask you this. Do you believe God hears you unconditionally? Or are there some things you got to do or some things you can't do so God would hear you? That I've got to be good for God to hear me. That if I'm going to pray to God, I've got to do the right things and I've got to act right. And if I don't act right, God's not going to hear me. Do you believe that? See, I think subconsciously we do. I think most of us, you know, when God, I've been good, so I expect something. Well, I really don't expect it. Well, at least you're going to hear me. And you're going to pay more attention to my prayer because I'm good than this guy over here who's a sinner. Now, we might not say that, but I'm sure we feel like that. Now, wait a minute, just so you get the picture. Have you ever wondered somebody got a blessing and you didn't, and you're going, well, I'm better than, how come they got it and I didn't? I go to church, they don't go to church. I do this, they don't. Anybody ever say anything like that? You ever feel it's just God's not fair? Anybody ever feel God's not fair? I got my hand up. I don't think God's fair sometimes. Yeah. Because, see, what we really believe in our mind is this. If you're good, God's going to bless you. If you're bad, God's not going to bless you. See, we want that unconditional love, but we don't have this unconditional prayer. That God's not asking us to be perfect in order for him to hear us. See, I think God has a lot going on here. And he has some things happening here. Look at this scripture. I like what this scripture says. Here, look at the scripture. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness. Why don't you circle those two words? Your faithfulness and your righteousness. Circle those two words. Never think God hears you because you're faithful and you're righteous. Never think God's going to answer your prayers because you're faithful and you're righteous. Never think you have the inside track to God because you're faithful and you're righteous. It doesn't work that way. It's God's faithfulness and God's righteousness that gives God a reason to answer us. And it's not because of us. I'm going to tell you, when I was saved at 17 years old, it wasn't because Gary decided he was going to be a good kid from then on. It wasn't, you know, well, you know, God, I'm going to be good. I'm your guy now, God, and we're good, and we're going to be good together. It was because of God's mercy and God's faithfulness and God's righteousness. See, as I read this prayer and I read these red letters, it makes me think about my prayers. And it's not based on how good you are for God to answer you. It's not based on how much wrong you've done. Well, I haven't done this and I haven't done. It's not based on anything like that. Your prayers and my prayers are based on one thing. God's faithfulness and God's righteousness. I can do nothing to earn that. I can do nothing to earn God's answers to my prayers. All right? I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. It is God's mercy and His faithfulness and His righteousness that God answers. But here's the problem, because here's what happens most of the time. See, when we're sinning, we don't pray. That's the problem. I love the way this guy came into the temple. He came into church. He came in brokenhearted. This guy was hurting. Did you see that? He came in. And, you know, if you look at that, turn back over and look at what it says. I mean, I want you to see it. I don't have it on the screen, but I want you to see it. He beat his chest in sorrow. He came in broken. He was hurting. His heart was broken. He was down. Life had beaten him up. Life had come to a point where he realized, I can't do this on my own. I've messed up. I've made poor choices. I've made poor decisions. My life is a wreck, and I'm messed up. He come in with that. He didn't come in saying, God, you're going to answer my prayers because I'm a good guy and I've done things right and I've been a good person this week and I'm going to do the best I can next week, God. And so, God, I'm asking you to answer my prayers. He didn't come in with that attitude. He didn't come in with that heart. He came in with a broken heart. He came in with a broken heart. And he came in to God and he says, God, I'm broken. I'm sorrow. My heart is broken. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not who I want to be. I'm not going where I want to go. God, I'm broken and I'm hurting, God. And God, I need your mercy. That's the prayer God hears. When we're broken, when we're hurting, and when we're in God's presence. That's what God hears. It's not when I've been good and I've done everything right and I've had a good week and man, it was a wonderful week and I did. I had a great week and okay, God, we're in this together. It's not when God answers. You engage God in His mercy. It's your faithfulness, God. It's your righteousness, God. It's not me, God. I've been good, so I should get more answers today, right? I've sacrificed more. Because see, that's when we say, well, God, you're not fair. Why did they get... And we wrestle. God, why didn't I win that lottery thing this... What was it? $3-some-odd million? $300-some-odd million? Nobody won it last night, so you get a chance to go again. Don't do it, all right? I haven't never bought a ticket. I'm not, all right? Yeah. How come they can we? God, I prayed. I sought your face. I'm a good guy, and I could use that money. God, you give me that $300 million, and I'll pay the rest of the church off, and we'll go good, God. I'll buy a ticket. And God and I are tight, and He's going to give me the winning ticket. Right? Does that work? God and I are good. I've been good this week. I really didn't do anything wrong. We got it all figured out, God. We're on the same page on this. We don't say things like that, but do sometimes we feel it? Maybe not as many as $3 million or $300 million, maybe in the small things. You know, why did they get, how come it always goes their way for them? How come they always get that? See, I want to challenge us in our thoughts on prayer. We know that God loves us unconditionally. I put it this way, if you look at your paper, we have a hard time believing that God listens to us unconditionally. We have a hard time believing that. We feel better when we're good, when we're praying. Am I right? When you've been good, you feel better when you pray. When you've been bad and you slip back and things haven't went your way and things haven't gone like you think they should and you know you and God are struggling in some areas, you feel like, well, I really don't feel like praying anyway. But why should I pray? Because God's not going to. See, we wrestle with this. We wrestle with this. So I put it this way in your paper. Prayer is not about our performance. Prayer is not about your performance. It's not about your performance in the prayer. Well, that was a pretty flowery prayer. So I'm going to answer that. Man, you strung those words together really well. You have your English grammar down. You didn't have any spelling mistakes in that prayer. Man, God, you got it. Here it goes, Gary. Prayer is not based on your performance. It's not based on your performance in your life. See, prayer is not based on our performance. It's based on God's faithfulness and God's righteousness. That's what prayer is based on. See, we believe that God hears us unconditionally. do we? So now I ask you the question again. Who do you want to be like? Do you want to be like the Pharisee? Whose heart looked down on others? Whose heart felt like him and God were tight and in together and they were on the same page? And everybody else was all messed up? Or do you want to be like the despised tax collector, broken, hurting, crying out in sorrow for God's mercy? See, if you were like me on this first page, I want to be like the Pharisee. I want to be a good guy. I want to live by God's principles. I want to be faithful to my wife. I don't want to lie. I don't want to cheat. I don't want to be a sinner. I want to be that first guy. I want to go to church. I want to give. I want to tithe. I want to be that good guy. I want to be the good guy. I don't want to be like that tax collector. So on this side, yeah, I want to be like the Pharisee. I want to be the good guy. But then on this side, after I go through all this stuff, wait a minute, I don't want to be like the Pharisee now. I want to be like the tax collector with a broken heart, with sorrow. See, it's all about that heart condition. So this morning, as we wrap up the message this morning, I want to ask you, where's your heart? Do you and God have it all figured out? You know, God, we've got this all figured out. You know, we come to church. I'm here every week. God, you and I, we've got this all figured out. We're on the same page. We're doing good. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't go with girls who do, you know. And God, we're all in this together. And we're just walking along. Or do you want to be broken and hurting and admitting that, you know, God, I can't get this life. It hurts and it's messed up. And I can't figure it out, God. And God, what I need is your mercy. I know you love me, God, and I know you care. And I'm going to tell you, that's the prayer God hears. So I'm going to ask you this morning, where are you in your lives? You know what I always say at our church? I say it this way. You know, being a Christian and getting right with God, it's not about, well, I prayed a simple prayer and it's not about, well, I walked an aisle or I was baptized somewhere or I'm a good person and I talk to God all the time. It's about, God, I messed up and I want to do things your way. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. You're throwing yourself on the mercy of God, who's faithful and righteous all the time. All the time. I want to challenge you this morning to be like the tax collector. Broken in the presence of God. Just, God, I'm broke. And then seek his face. Rely on his faithfulness and his righteousness. Because he loves you. And I guarantee you this. Just as he loves you unconditionally, he hears you unconditionally. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what's happened in your life. I don't care about anything. God loves you unconditionally, and he hears your cries, period, because he's God. You can't earn it. It is a gift. Because of your faithfulness, because of your righteousness, I stand in the presence of God. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you hear our prayers and you know our hearts. You know where we're at in our lives and the battles that we're facing, the struggles that we experience. Lord, sometimes we put a good face on things. We make ourselves look good, and inside we're hurting. Sometimes our face reveals the battle that's going on inside. But you know us, Lord, and you love us. You know, as I'm praying, all the heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and I'm praying. Maybe this morning you're battling some things in your life, and you've just wondered, God, is God hearing me? Does God love me? Does God care? I want to tell you, God loves you and God cares for you. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. God loves you and he cares for you. And maybe you want me to pray for you this morning in this battle that you're fighting. Would you just raise your hand and I'll pray for you this morning? Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else? Anyone else? Lord, these arms have went up this morning. These hands have been raised to your presence. Lord, there's a tremendous need for your mercy. That atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his presence in the lives of these who've lifted their arms. I ask you to just touch them in a special way, Lord. Wrap your loving arms around them so that they know they are loved and that they are cared for and that you haven't forgot them, that you haven't turned a deaf ear to their prayers, that you've heard every word, that you haven't forsaken them. Lord, I ask you to encourage them, to strengthen them. Lord, sometimes we have to go through these things in life that we don't like, that are battles. But you're God, and your strength is needed. And so, Lord, I ask you to lay your hand upon these lives in a special way. Reassure them that you know them. Reassure them that you hear their cry right now as they lifted their arms. That was a voice that you heard from heaven. Not because of anything they've done or anything they haven't done, but because of your loving mercy, unconditional. You heard their heart's cry. This is your time, Lord, to speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.